The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Pedro is going to drop in today. Now the Diamondbacks are done for the regular season. Their season actually at home. They have three games left in San Diego. We are going to play yes or no with Pedro Gomez. It's always a fun game. Yes or no, Paul Goldschmidt will be back as first baseman. And he'll say either yes or no, and then I will follow up with questions that are not yes or no and put him on the hot spot. You know, what will it take? Will Pat Corbin be back? If he says yes, then it's okay, what will we have to do here? And I'll go right down the line on things. Will Torey Lovello, will the pitching coach, will everybody? Let's just go right through it, because when people say it's been a good season, no. If they didn't stink in May, and if they weren't just falling apart here in September, that is unacceptable to have a team that just collapses for 2 months out of the year. So ESPN Major League Baseball insider, Valley resident, good friend Pedro Gomez will be with us here in short. And I'll ask him about the postseason and predictions in case you're one of those fans that wants to know where Pedro's at on all these other teams. Goody at the movies, and Bill's going to move his schedule around today because he's watching the Kavanaugh hearings, which I get it. I listened to that most of my drive up here from South Tucson, it felt like. And I understand it's everywhere today. If you're not watching the Kavanaugh hearings, it's fine. It means you're interested in sports. I'm interested in everything that's going on. Last night, I went to an event involving the Alliance. That is why I'm wearing the hat today. The hat for the Hotshots, the Arizona Hotshots. That is the football team that will be playing in the spring, and it's tied into the NFL indirectly. I will explain. I had a nice long chat with their general manager, Phil Savage. Phil's been in the NFL. It's cool when you're talking to NFL-related people about just football. We're not talking marketing. We're not talking about ratings points. We're not talking about trying to get this certain demographic more interested in a product. We are just talking football. Last night, there were season ticket holders at this event. So I'd say about 150, 200 people. And a couple of the questions asked directly from these fans, and these were people that were of background, I believe, of football. They were younger, mid-20s. And they wanted to know, will you be allowed to hit the quarterback in the way that football is really played in this league? Really interesting to hear that type of shot being taken at the big, bad NFL. I'll talk to you about that a little bit. I think Arizona State should pursue Kelly Bryant, and I'll throw out reasons as to why. I don't think the Suns should trade Devin Booker for Jimmy Butler, but I would certainly try to figure out a way to make it happen as they were doing yesterday. I'll give them credit. Unless they're just being used. The Ryder Cup, I'm all about this weekend with Tiger being out there, and I'm one of those that cannot get enough of the golf events. And tonight, the NFL game is very interesting to me. Minnesota and the Rams, that's a good matchup for a Thursday night. I will watch some of that. But I really believe starting today's show off on the college end of things, college football end of things, Devin Henry, our terrific technical director, advisor, guy that gets in the way and screws up and all that stuff, our chairman of the board today, came in about 15 minutes ago and said, what are you leading with today? And Eric knows this full well. Whenever you ask, I usually don't know. It's what is present and popular at 10:06 in my view, not what's trending on Twitter. What do I see that's going on in Arizona? So we're going to start with the college end of things. We're brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. You need to do it with life insurance. You don't have to go down to an office. You can just simply go over to your computer. You can open another screen while you're listening to me and watching me and just type in sagicornow.com and get your free quote. You don't have to have anybody looking over your shoulder. You can just do it right there and protect what matters most. Do it with Sagicor Now. We appreciate their support. All right, so this college weekend, I'm writing a piece. I have not published it yet. It is from guys like Yogi Roth and Brock Huard, both on the show, both telling me what I believe, and they're in agreement that either or both Arizona or Arizona State can win the Pac-12 South this year, and that the Territorial Cup game will actually have meaning. Those of you that are Arizona State fans that think that I hate on ASU, no, I simply point out how mediocre they've been. U of A football fans, there's like, I don't know, a handful of you, because all you care about is basketball. You don't care about football. Usually the Territorial Cup is all this big showdown, and let's show Chuck Cecil, and let's show Jeff Van Raphorst, and let's show Danny White, and, you know, let's just show all these highlights, Jake, and all these great moments through the years. It usually doesn't mean a darn thing except to those here in the state of Arizona. Why do I believe that to be true? Actually, I know it to be true. Last year, the Pac-12 Network put on the big-time, big-bonanza matchup of Arizona and Arizona State opposite of Alabama-Auburn. They didn't even put it on a big network. They put it on the Pac-12 Network. Nobody watches. Okay? This is not UCLA-USC. I wish it were different. Yeah, if you gave me a magic wand, I'd do a lot of changes to the Pac-12 Network. I actually believe I could run that thing from a programming standpoint, because some of the stuff I see on there, it's like, you have to be kidding me. You're going to put Arizona, Arizona State opposite of Auburn, Alabama, and expect to get any audience at all. It's not happening. But this year, with the way the South is going, like next week, ASU at Colorado next week is shaping up to be a really big game. I saw Colorado against Nebraska, and I thought, well, that's a pretty good win. Now Nebraska, turns out they stink. They're not very good. But still, ASU at Colorado next week, that's an important game. Arizona having USC, if Arizona beats USC, and I think they're going to give them a game, famous last words, but I think they're going to give them a game on Saturday night. You look at the Wildcats, and you look around the rest of the schedule, and UCLA is not good. They're playing true freshmen at a lot of positions. Utah is just kind of sort of maybe there. So I don't look at the South and say, wow, like I look at the Pac-12 North. Oregon at Cal this Saturday night is going to be a terrific game. BYU at Washington is going to be a terrific game. Notre Dame Stanford is going to be a terrific game. Those are games all this Saturday night. So I do believe that the Arizona State game is actually going to have meaning more than, yeah, the Wildcats are better than the Sun Devils and Kitty Cats and Scum Devils and all the nonsense that gets told every year, and we have a bunch of mediocre football being played. It just drives me crazy that the expectations here aren't higher. That, I don't know, try aiming for a game in New Orleans or Atlanta rather than in El Paso or San Diego. But it starts this weekend really for USC. ASU has Oregon State. It's a game where you try to get things figured out, get things straightened out, figure them out. Kelly Bryant left Clemson. Kelly Bryant's a really good quarterback. Kelly Bryant really hasn't caused any problems down there, but Dabo Swinney, the head coach at Clemson, power program, one of the best in the country, decided that he's going to go with a true freshman that looks like sunshine from Remember the Titans. It's fine. So Kelly Bryant, for his benefit, did not play in four games this season. Thus, he is eligible to transfer, as 1 year of eligibility left. Guys, look at Arizona State's quarterback room. Tell me what they have there. Tell me exactly what they have behind Manny Wilkins. You're going to say Dylan Sterling Cole. I don't think Ryan Kelly's ever going to take a snap at ASU with his shoulder. You have two freshmen that are coming in. You don't want to have that in-between year, do you? I mean, unless the baggage with Kelly Bryant is just too thick. Eric, you watch enough college football. You've seen Kelly Bryant. Does this make sense to you? He'd have 1 year left. Be a gap guy here in Arizona.
Yeah, but I don't think ASU has a chance to get him.
They're not paying enough?
I just
big enough shoebox?
I just think he could go, and this is no slap in the face to ASU.
Sure it is.
He could go to a bigger school.
Sure it is.
That needs a quarterback and play right away. No, it's not. You even said it. What's ASU been? They've been a mediocre program.
He can't go to Alabama. They have Jalen Hurts.
No, but I mean,
he can't go to Ohio State.
But on the pecking order, ASU's way down the list.
But
I mean, there are lots of good schools that are will need and want a really good quarterback, and he is a really good quarterback. He's just not the best quarterback on Clemson's roster.
Correct. So, but if you have Herm Edwards there advocating for you, I know we have to take a break here for Pedro, but let me finish this.
Okay.
If you have Herm Edwards, an NFL guy, the stature of Arizona State's program has improved. They play a national schedule. Yeah, they have this silly Pac-12 network that people don't see, but he would be at a program where he would pretty much be guaranteed to get reps next year. That's all he needs. I don't know about his style. But if you go up, and is he going to end up at Miami, Florida, or Florida State, or somewhere in the South? That all sounds well and good, but why not Arizona State?
Well, neither of those teams need a quarterback. So, and ASU next year will need a
quarterback. They need one. So. He shows up now. He gets plugged in. I think it's a natural no-brainer. But there may be all sorts of drama, or he may say, I don't want to go to the West. I think having Herm here is a different deal.
Remember the last time ASU got a big-time transfer quarterback from one of the best teams in the country?
But that was his dad shot Blake Barnett. But that was his dad shopping him around.
That didn't turn out so well.
But that was under Todd Graham, and you know, Mike was here, and Mike left, and you know that was a mercenary. He's only got 1 year left. It'd be perfect.
It would be, but I'm sure there are like dozens of other schools around the country that are saying the exact same thing that Arizona State's saying.
I'm saying that.
Oh, my gosh. But Kelly Bryant. Wow. He doesn't have to sit out of here. He can just come play.
That's
it. Neat.
That's it. All right. Pedro, yes or no on the Diamondbacks. It's always a fun game to play with Pedro because he doesn't just get off easy with, yes, he's leaving. It's, okay, now let's drill down a little bit. I want to know why and how. The who, what, where, when, why, how. That's what we're missing in this day and age. We're getting into it with Pedro, and that's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now it's time to play the best game show going, at least on this show today, and that is the Yes or No segment with Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, Insider Valley resident, good friend of the show. How are you today?
I'm well. I didn't know there was going to be a test, but I'm ready.
Here we go. Yes or no? We'll start with Zach Greinke. Will he be back with the Diamondbacks in 2019? Yes or no?
To start the season, yes.
Drill down on that for me. Why do you believe that to be true? He's immovable? That there's enough money
there's
there? They
yeah,
need to have him?
3 years.
Yeah.
There's 3 years, about $100 million left on that deal. And the D-backs would probably have to eat about 60 of it if they were going to trade him over the winter. Look, the D-backs look like they're going to probably have kind of a rebuild year next year, even though they'll never say that, but it looks that way. And in that case, by the end of May or early June, they'll probably be distant from the division lead, and clubs will be seeking pitching. And at that point, with 2.5 years left on his deal, less money, you know, even if it's $17 million lopped off from the original 100, now you can start to negotiate with a team in need and probably try to negotiate a little bit better deal to satisfy the D-backs.
Could Zach Greinke's people say, get him out of Arizona here in the offseason? And would Ken Kendrick acquiesce to that?
Of course, they absolutely could. But the reality is that I don't think the D-backs are going to be in a situation where they're going to eat 60 to 65 million of the 100 or so million left on that deal, 104, I think it is. I think they would rather wait and try to get a better deal.
Will this go down as one of the worst deals in the history of baseball, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough on that one. Will Paul Goldschmidt get a new contract in this offseason, yes or no?
No, not yet.
Will Paul Goldschmidt be traded here in the offseason? Will the Diamondbacks at least entertain moving him here in the offseason, yes or no?
They'll listen, but no.
Would you trade Paul Goldschmidt this offseason, yes or no?
No.
All right, so you're still in his corner. See, I wouldn't either.
Well, there's 2 years left at a very reasonable price, and he has shown that he is one of the top 10 players in the game, at least hitters. And those guys don't, you know, it's not easy to come by those guys, especially at a very reasonable and affordable rate.
Was this a successful season for the Arizona Diamondbacks, yes or no?
Yes.
That was dead silent there for like 3 seconds.
I know. I had to think about it a little bit. But, you know, finishing above 500, which they probably will. You know, I know a lot of fans are going to go the other way and say no way. But there were a lot of flaws, and they were able to cover up a lot of those flaws for the majority of the season. And, you know, the beauty, one of the beauties of baseball is – you tend to win what you're supposed to win. 162 is kind of a true test.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, they're winning about what they should.
Yes or no, Brad Boxberger will be the closer in 2019.
No. I like the kid, Yoan Lopez, though.
Will Archie Bradley be the closer in 2019?
yes to start the season.
Wow. All right. Will Brad Boxberger be on the roster next February 15? Spring training starts.
No.
Let me think. What other yeses or no? Oh, I know. Patrick Corbin.
What about Pollock and
let's get all right, let's get to these. Patrick Corbin, will he be a Diamondback in 2019?
No.
AJ Pollock.
Somebody's going to come with a big money offer that the D-backs just won't be able to touch.
AJ Pollock, will he be a Diamondback in 2019?
More likely, way more likely than Corbin, but I still say no. I think the D-backs, I think Mike Hazen goes for more of a full rebuild type season. I'm not saying strip it down to the bone, but you can't keep a guy like Pollock and pay him that kind of money if you really are going for a rebuild.
Okay, so in my space, I try everything I can to keep Corbin. I've already shown the ability I can give out $33 million a year to a pitcher, so I can go find it, okay? I'd have to move a lot of things, but I'd rather have Patrick Corbin at the top of my rotation or the second spot of my rotation than having A.J. Pollock in center field. Part of that, Pedro, is I've just heard there's a bunch of locker room stuff going on here in the second half of the season, and it's not coming from the pitchers, and that's why this team is somewhat disintegrated.
Yeah, it's just that the bullpen issues have been so glaring,
yeah,
and that tends to just infest a clubhouse, and that's probably I've seen it happen over and over again, and that's what's happened, no doubt, here. And I think that Corbin, though, has shown himself to be a very effective one or two type pitcher, and there are clubs that are going to be able to offer big time money. And again, if you're going for somewhat of a rebuild, you've got to go all in on the rebuild.
Yes or no, Derek Hall, Mike Hazen, Torrey Lovello all return in 2019.
Yes.
I'm not sure on that one, but that's me.
Really? Which one of the three?
Derek. So it's not by him being
that
moved.
That would be my first of the three, by the way.
Yeah.
I would say Lovello and Hazen, yes, but in order, I would say Hazen, then Lovello.
And this is not Derek being jettisoned out by Ken. This is Derek saying it's time for me to go do something else.
Is that because Ken says, hey, why don't you think about doing something else?
Possibly. By 2022, will the Diamondbacks be known as the Las Vegas Diamondbacks?
No, they're going to be known as the team that's going to be playing their home games within a year, right over there at the 101 and the 202.
Well, I like this. We didn't roll tape on any of this. No, I'm just kidding.
I think within 5 years they will be playing right where the Phoenix Rising are playing right now, their home games.
I agree with you.
That corner right there is going to be a ballpark.
Well, let me disagree with you on that. I think it's going to be the other side where there's a big hole in the ground across from the Cubs, but that's me.
Oh, okay. But either way, it'll be right there.
It'll be right there.
At that intersection.
But I do believe that there has been some footsie going on with Las Vegas people and Ken. I do believe that.
Honestly, I think that would be a monumental mistake. Vegas is it's a nice size city.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to have NHL, NFL, and Major League Baseball all come within 4 or 5 years of each other would be a huge mistake for that size of a metro area. And I think within 2 years, if a baseball team were to move there, that first or second year would be great.
Yep.
And then you'd see a significant drop off. And I don't believe it would be sustainable.
Okay, yes or no, final yes or no. In the next 5 years, Pedro Gomez's son will be pitching in the big leagues.
Yes, absolutely. 5 years, I'd say three.
Wow, famous last words. Postseason, who do you like? Is it just so obvious this year?
No, it's not. Well, at least to me, I like the Astros and the Indians. The Red Sox, I know, have had a tremendous regular season, but Chris Sale does not look the same. And David Price's October numbers are nothing so far in his career, unless he does a complete 180 this year. I think that the bullpen issues for the Red Sox are glaring, and they really show up in a short series. So for that reason, I like the Astros and the Indians. Whoever wins that first round series between those two clubs goes all the way.
I appreciate your time as always. Thanks for playing Yes or No. See you soon.
Brad, always great to talk to you.
You too. There's Pedro Gomez with us. That's a lot of fun. Goody at the movies. And actually, Goody is watching what is going on today on the news side of things. We'll get into that with Bill and also a movie or two. That's next. Goody at the movies, although Bill Goodykunz today, chief film critic for Gannett and media critic, is fully engrossed in the hearings that are going on with Brett Kavanaugh, Christine Ford. They are going on even as we speak, so we'll make this short this week to let you do your thing. What do you make so far out of this? I've been gripped by it. I think she comes across as very credible. What do you make so far out of this?
Oh, I don't think there's any question that she comes across as credible. What's gripping to me is to watch during the breaks where when you go to Fox News, because you know what MSNBC is going to say. They're going to side with Ford, and CNN is going to do whatever the thing that CNN does. But on Fox News, after the first breaks, they called it a disaster for Republicans. And I think part of the problem is that they're going back and forth. They're doing this bizarre format. Grassley, who is the chairman, is supposedly a real stickler for order and for time limits and stuff.
Yep.
All the Republicans are ceding their time to Mitchell, the Arizona prosecutor, the woman who they hired to question her. But she only gets 5 minutes. She'll start down this road that sounds like something from Perry Mason or something, and then they'll stop. And then they'll go over to the Democrats, and they'll say, oh, you're so great. She has been. And then they'll go back to for 5 minutes of, now can you tell me where the bathroom was and where the – and it's just like it's bizarre, and I think it's hard to follow. And I don't think it's doing you get the – she has that – I've seen online that her presence is sort of like Aunt Lydia in The Handmaid's Tale. that she's she's just this nice, benevolent-seeming nice person who's just ready to just, like, rip your heart out. But she hasn't done that yet. And I don't – so who knows? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, it is gripping television.
Why is that, Bill? I mean, I remember the O.J. stuff, and this is similar to O.J., where everything is stopping on all media fronts. Why is this one so gripping, do you think?
Well, I think that in this case, the clear – precedent for this is the Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill hearings.
Yep.
But I think that people realize now more than ever, and particularly now with social media and you can stream it on your computer and stuff, it's important. I mean, it's for the Supreme Court, and I think that people are invested in it, not just for that reason, but because of the Me Too movement and that sort of thing. And the other thing is the country's so divided. Yeah. I mean, it's like, they just talked about, one of the pundits on one of the channels said that a lot of the Republican base has already said, I don't care if he did it. I'm still voting for him.
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways, you kind of think it seems very dramatic and all that stuff, but I don't know how much effectiveness it's going to have. But I keep thinking back to the Anita Hill thing. My brother lived in Washington, D.C. at the time, and he said that people, I remember, this is before computers, he said people would pull over on the side of the road and just stop to listen. They didn't want to drive and hear it. That's how engrossed they were in it. And I get the feeling now, granted, I'm sitting here on my couch talking to you, so I don't know. I haven't actually been outside today other than to take my kids to school. But I get the idea that people are pretty engrossed by this as well.
Sure, sure. No, I was my wife had a tire issue this morning. The place I took it to, the TV, everybody was gathered around watching this. And didn't matter.
You should have taken a picture, man.
Yeah, no, it was really interesting. The whole idea of sexual assault when you're 15 years of age, I've heard that as a debate back and forth of it was boys being boys. There's actually that line of questioning today. So I think there's some pretty hard conversations or people just thinking about this topic too, which is part of it.
Oh, absolutely. And I think I've seen several people say, one of the things I really hate about this is having to relive what the 80s were like. and I was around then. And people, I don't think sexual assault was part of boys being boys. Now, there were bullies, and there were people that were offensive to women and stuff. But one of the things that you find out is I mean, I don't know of anybody who did anything like that, but they very well might have, because we just don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. All right, let's
they're not jumping to come forward, but as evidenced by all this.
Sorry for stepping on you. Let's get the movies in and you can get out. The Children Act. Tell me about this, The Children Act.
Emma Thompson. Emma Thompson is just great in it. She's a judge, actually, oddly enough. And she decides things, and she's in the British courtroom. She decides children's welfare. Like, when the movie opens, she is deciding whether a conjoined twin should be separated, even though it'll almost certainly kill one of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's, she's making decisions like that. And what happens is a Jehovah's Witness comes to her. He's 17, so he's not quite an adult, but he's really almost 18, and he's really smart. He wants to die. He doesn't want a blood transfusion that would help his leukemia. And it's no spoiler to say that she decides that he needs the blood transfusion. But what's interesting is how this affects her life and how it affects him. And what's interesting also is in these movies, sometimes they make that decision, and then you don't know what happens after that. You know, what happens to the kid after that? He's defied his parents. He's defied his religion. But he's still alive. What's that like? You know, and mm-hmm. I think it's pretty cool that it sort of follows that. I think it's interesting.
So this is good.
And she's just great. It's so great to see her in a good movie again.
This is good. This is good to see. All right. I'll let you go off that. We'll be short so you can get back to it. Thanks.
All right. I appreciate it.
You got it then. There's Goody at the Movies. Catch up with Bill. There's a lot more coming up in a lot more that's coming up soon. We'll take a timeout. We'll be back with more after this timeout. So there's times where I look at the NFL and I think, what are you guys doing? Just in the last few minutes, they've released a statement from NFL Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Troy Vincent. The NFL Competition Committee met last night by conference call to discuss the enforcement of roughing the passer rules, with a specific emphasis on the use of body weight. If we've been watching football, especially the Monday night game, the whole deal of tackling and falling on a player has become this issue. And the committee reviewed video of roughing the passer fouls from this season and of 2017. And Troy Vincent has come out today to say, no, we're not changing the rule. This is something about the NFL that either it's so wildly popular we have to have people that weigh in on it, or it's so inept that they can't just say, this is the way the rules are. We're not going to change rules in midstream. And this brings me over to last night. Last night I went over to the Alliance, the Arizona Hotshots. The Hotshots had their first like meetup with season ticket holders. And they're going to have some ASU and U of A players. Will Sutton was there last night. He signed with the team. Mike Bercovici signed with the team. Devin Lucien, if you remember him, a wide receiver, he's going to sign with the team. And there's several others. Fans were asking questions pretty direct about, what are we doing here with roughing the passer and the league rules that are in the NFL? Are these same rules going to apply over here at the Alliance? This is not the Arena Football League. I'm not denigrating them at all. This is, I think, a higher level, more sophisticated product by having Bill Polian and Phil Savage and NFL guys at the top of the leadership. CBS is going to broadcast their games. And it's been really interesting just to see the growth of it. Last night, there was a lot of enthusiasm, I can tell you, from fans wanting to get involved in this. But they were talking about the way the NFL is being played, and they don't like it. Eric, you have a game you want me to play?
Oh, it's not really a game, but today's an anniversary day, Brad.
Today's the anniversary day. It's my son's birthday.
Today is your son's birthday?
Yeah.
He's a good man?
Yeah.
So?
Anniversary.
Anniversary. Okay. So, 10 years ago today, yeah. Stand by Devin, this happened in the world of college football.
And I just want to say one thing. To the fans and everybody in Gator Nation, I'm sorry, extremely sorry. You know, we were hoping for an undefeated season. That was my goal, something Florida's never done here. But I promise you one thing, a lot of good will come out of this. You have never seen any player in the entire country play as hard as I will play the rest of the season, and you never see someone push the rest of the team as hard as I will push everybody the rest of the season, and you never see a team play harder than we will the rest of this season. God bless.
All right. 10 years ago.
All
right. And so because of that, Tim Tebow 10 years ago.
10 years ago, he made that impassioned speech, one of the most powerful post-game press conference speeches. And I don't want to say it put Tim Tebow on the map, but for me, I'll remember that speech way more than I'll remember Tebowing, his time in the NFL, his minor league baseball career. Because the one thing that I love about college football is at times it can be so unfiltering, much like high school football.
Yes.
And when he gave that speech after a one-point loss to Ole Miss, there was no script. There was no SID telling him what to say or what not to say. And that was towards the end of the press conference, as you saw. And for a player that I really didn't even really like in college, I'm not
a big... Why not? Why are we hating on him?
I'm not a big Florida Gator fan. But
you're a TCU guy. How does that happen?
But he is so powerful in what he's doing now away from the game. And the inspiration and all of his charity work. And I think he's a pretty decent analyst when he actually is on ESPN. But that's what I remember most about Tim Tebow, that speech. And it was 10 years ago, Brad. 10 years ago.
Flown by.
10.
We've been doing this 8 years. No, he looks
so
young.
Tim Tebow was
there.
A college football player 10 years ago.
I remember.
Where has time gone?
Do you remember when Florida came here and played in the bowl game? And Tebow was the freshman.
Yes,
and I remember walking over to him at the stadium and saying, can I have a couple minutes of your time?
But that was before he was Tim Tebow.
Correct.
He was just sort of like a
highly regarded player.
Yeah, he was just, was but it. He wasn't the guy yet.
No.
Because he was a freshman.
No, and I remember my cameraman, Gus, who was with me, he was like, why do you want to talk to him? He's not the starter. Because one day he's going to be something. And
like the jump pass? How many teams run the jump pass now? Where did that start? Tim Tebow. That's what I remember. I don't remember the Heisman Trophy. I don't remember any of that other stuff. I just remember the jump pass and that press conference because it was so raw and it was so beautifully said.
Here's the thing on Tim Tebow, too, and that is I've heard from business people here in town that he'll fly in and he will go to an event, and that event will be loaded with money. That event will have big money people all over the place, and he's there to auction things off.
Speak,
motivate. Raise a ton of cash, and you never hear about Tim Tebow is going to be available to do a ribbon cutting, come here and get some pictures of him. He just does it.
And he does have a new book out. I'm not trying to plug it, but
he has
a new book out. No, I think it just came out. Probably not.
Is he going to be in the fall league?
That's a good question. That's a Jordan and Haley question.
And they would know.
Those seam heads follow it a lot closer than you and I do.
They
would know.
All right. All right. Devin Henry is our chairman of the board. Eric, as always, senior executive vice president of everything. We're going to head over to the website, work on some content. Check it out at sports360az.com. Have yourself a great day.